Welcome to Entanglement Radio, transcendent talk for the conscious mind. Join us for inspiring conversations with visionaries in spiritual science, new thought, and conscious healing. Explore the potential and infinite possibilities of what it means to be human with some of the best guests in radio. At Entanglement Radio, it is all connected. Now, here is your host, Angela Levesque, on the Om Times Radio Network.
Here on the Om Times Radio Network. Pardon me. I'm coming to you live today from the beautiful foothills of the Rocky Mountains here in Boise, Idaho. I'm very excited. We're doing kind of another co-host kind of show. I think that it's really important to have conversations and not just always interviews here on the program. So we're going to be doing that more, as well as sticking with a regular interview format. Coming up next week, we have Don Miguel Ruiz on the program, and we're going to be talking about kind of drifting in those places between life and death. But I have a fantastic friend and co-host with me today to talk about conversations on the brink. We have Sarah Nash, and she is the blue collar goddess, as well as the founder and co-facilitator of the White Light Express, as well as the creator of Cosmic Triage. So we'll get to her in just a minute. As I mentioned, next week we have Don Miguel Ruiz on the program. And I have been loving all of the increased interaction that I've been getting on social media, Facebook, Twitter. You can find me at Hestia Health and Entanglement Radio. People have been giving me show ideas and just a lot of awesomeness. So I'm excited about that. And just a reminder, my Inspired and Empowered program begins February 29th, and you can still get in on early bird pricing. And we will be talking about activating your potential and possibilities and really connecting you with your purpose. So the three big P's, I think. And so you can find out more about that at hestiahealth.com. So with that, I want to introduce my co-host today as we have conversations on the brink. I think I advertise this as sarcasm and spirituality. And if you know anything about Sarah Nash, I think that will fit just accurately. So Sarah, how are you doing today?
Well, you know, we were talking about health. We were talking about our sniffly, sneezy, coffee, wheezy selves. And for me right now, it's like, I think I sound like Chucky on the Rugrats. I'm like, hi, Angela, how are ya?
Well, the show must go on though, right?
So indeed, we got to put our game faces on and just do it with our sniffly, sneezy, you know, coffee ascending selves.
Yes. Well, I know. So last week, I think I had a really fantastic show. We had Matt Barisi on here, and we talked about his book, Dead White Guys, and we talked about the real meaning of government and what's wrong with our current thinking and all of this stuff. And that was actually one of the things when I had contacted you several weeks ago about what I wanted to talk about, and I wasn't sure the direction that my interview with Matt Barisi was going to go. So if you haven't heard that, you should really listen. But that's kind of where I want to start, because we are in the middle of the 2016 election. It feels like it's been going on for freaking ever, and I'm so ready for it to be done. But I know as you and Zen Master Ted were listening to the program last week, you had some insights, and it prompted a very interesting breakfast. So I wanted to start off there and move into this conversation about, can we bring integrity into the political process?
Well, anyone who says they're not interested in politics is like a drowning man who insists he is not interested in water. And this is from Mahatma Gandhi. And it was a quote that popped up in the process last week. And I found it and I pinned it. And I said, you know, notes when I speak with Angela, because I always say I'm not interested in politics. I am so interested in politics that what happens is I become enraged. My gentle sarcasm and my awesome wisdom becomes a political fire-breathing dragon, because I'm very opinionated and I'm a socialist at heart. I mean, for all intents and purposes, my husband, Zen Master Ted, is a Danish citizen. He is here living in the United States, as he's not an expatriate or anything. But when we visited Denmark last year And it just so happened that they were in the process of their elections. And we were having lunch with his cousins. And his cousin turned around, excuse me. And he's like, this is a joke, right? Donald Trump. And I had this moment of such humiliation. I truly did, because it was this, I mean, Jasper is a very intelligent and incredible, well, all of Peter's family, they're just marvelous people. And to sit there at this beautiful lunch, to connect with these people who are solid and grounded and have historical and meaningful conversations, I had to sit there and turn to him and say, no, it's not. It's not a joke. And what we have then is this image of the United States, you know, parading around in diapers, is screaming, it's obscene almost. I'm embarrassed
too. I am very embarrassed. And, you know, having traveled quite a bit in my life, and I'm from Canada, but it makes me think, I'm going to continue with that embarrassment thing there, but it makes me think, right? Myself, I grew up in Canada. Zen Master Ted grew up in Europe. And it's like, well, we're both in the United States. So clearly, if our socialist nations were so fantastic, we'd still be there. I know that there's other, but that's the counterpoint that I'm hearing in my head is like, well, if it's so great, then why are you guys here? And I don't know. I think that that's an interesting conversation in itself, but and different life circumstances and such. But as far as being embarrassed, being somebody who's traveled quite a bit, there has always been a view of the United States that is now just being increasingly tarnished by this public display of idiocracy is the only way that I can describe it. Because when you listen to any of Trump's rallies and, you know, what they're saying, it's like taking us back. It's like we as humanity, we have made a certain amount of progress towards things like social justice. I mean, there's still a lot of work to be done. But when you have somebody like Trump who is just so contrary to the narrative that we've been trying to bring ourselves to war, that we've been like scratching and pulling and screaming to ourselves trying to get there. And he is just so far behind those ideals. And I have no idea. And I can only wonder that if it's like the universe kind of just the law of opposites just saying, okay, well, you said you guys wanted this, but we're just going to show you one more time where you've come from. And just to make sure you don't want to go back. So are you sure? Are you sure? Like the universe just, you know, we're just showing you, you could always go back here. You're telling us you want to move forward, but here's Trump. And I don't understand it. It has to be some sort of cosmic joke.
Well, a cosmic joke, or is it one of the reasons that people such as yourself and Zen Master Ted are here is to hold a vibration and a frequency of truth? Because the bottom line is, we're always being given opportunities to love and to be loved. And we're always given opportunities to hold this powerful vibration of equanimity and balance. And when we are rational and when we are logical, we get to be that eye of the hurricane. And maybe not me, because I'm, you know, I was born here in the United States. But the bottom line is that there has to be that voice of reason. And even though that voice of reason, sometimes you feel like you're John the Revelator standing out in the, you know, the prairie screaming, rational, be rational. You know, I do believe at the end of the day, you know, let's get back into a little bit more of the less political and more of the spiritual, or perhaps the metaphysical. It's like, why are we here? Why do some of us feel compelled to sit and experience through a filter, maybe, the nonsense? And I think that there have to be these connecting points throughout the entire world, which is why I do the White Light Express. You know, we've been doing this for 15 years, and more and more and more of these groups are forming to meditate and consider the Muslims. Consider how every single day, they, as a group, stop and pray.
Five times a day.
And people wonder why they're so powerful, why they're so connected, why they have, excuse me, why they have this power that they do. Well, imagine if all of us who you know, are suffering ascension symptoms, who are moving towards this cosmic truth, we hope. Imagine if we stopped daily, even just once a day. I mean, maybe that's what the 1111 thing is. If enough of us see 1111 in this digital reality, we can go, huh. And what if every time we saw 1111, we didn't go, I wonder what that means. I wonder what it means. It means that angels are talking to me. It means that I'm part of the great conspiracy of God. No, it means that you're seeing the numbers on a friggin' clock. And your reality, how you parse that through your reality is what's important. Okay? So what are you experiencing? I mean, I think it was Gary Zukav. He was saying there's this part of you that has to experience fear and schizophrenia and compassion. I mean, we all have to filter this experience through our personal operating system. What if 1111 just meant, hey, say thank you to the person next to you?
Yeah.
Why does it have to be this great big cosmic boo-boo?
You know, I think we're drawn to that because when we look around and we're just so entrenched in the mundane and the minutia of life and, you know, taking your kids to karate and getting – we just are like, come on, this can't be it. So we want to find those things in the 1111 and the 222s and whatever the case may be, just to somehow feel that life's more about more than what we're – how we're currently living it. And I think that we could choose to live it differently, but I think that that's it. I think that we're looking for those signs just so we look up and say, oh God, there is something other than this. But we could create that. Well, you can hear we're up on the break music. There's so many things I want to talk about when we get back. I want to talk about disclosure. I want to talk about X-Files. I've been waiting to have a nerdy conversation about UFOs.
So Let's do it.
We'll do that more with Sarah Nash here when we return.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on OM Times Radio. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Hi. This is Angela Levesque, host of Entanglement Radio. Join me Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern for inspiring conversations with visionaries in spiritual science and conscious healing. Entanglement Radio, Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern. Transcendent talk for the conscious mind.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of the Inspired Parenting Radio Show, where every week we bring you empowering information from the diverse fields of conscious parenting, education, neuroscience, consciousness, health, and metaphysics to support you in nurturing the best in your children. So if you're interested in understanding what shapes your children's minds, spirits, and hearts, join me every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and prepare to be inspired.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle. The future of internet radio is here. OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Entanglement Radio with Angela Levesque. We have a founder and co-facilitator of the White Light Express, as well as creator of Cosmic Triage. Sarah Nash is on the program, and we are just having conversations on the brink. And On the break, Sarah, I was really thinking about what you said. If everybody, even just once, not let alone five times a day, but if everybody came before their creator, universal, life force, energy, God, whatever the case may be, whatever you want to deem that, but if everyone just spent that time to connect, how would we change things? And maybe we wouldn't need to get so caught up in the 1111s of the world, or are the angels speaking to me, if we were that connected on a regular basis?
Well, and then I also was thinking about, you know, we don't want to diminish the sacred. We don't. And we must keep in our minds, well, we don't have to do anything actually, but for those of us who want to, we realize that we still have to carry the water and we have to chop the wood and we still have to pick the kids up from school and, you know, plan the grocery bill and buy toilet paper. Okay. So those mundane realities are actually what keep us anchored. And it's important to also reach for the sacred. But by reaching for the sacred, what we must ask and do is to really, truly seek divine truth. And I know this because for the first 40 years of my life, I just pretty much embellished and told stories and entertained with the idea of assisting people so that they understood that fear is in the mind and love is in the heart. And if you approach something with love, then there's really nothing to fear because we create our reality. And in fact, I just recently was working with someone who, you know what, I'm not going to get into that. Let's go back because we have so much to talk about, nerdy stuff. So whenever anybody says, may the force be with you, my inner Catholic wants to say, and also with you, there's a meme of that going around. The truth is out there. X-Files stuff. It's all white. It's Georgios Tsoukalos, who's like, you know, I'm not saying it's aliens, but it's aliens. You know, it's like, what is this for? And so we look at 1111 and we look at that. And why does that trigger within us something? Well, I've gone around the block with that 20 times, but maybe it's very simple. You know, the Occam's razor. Okay, Occam didn't have a razor. And if he did, was it disposable? It's the simplest answer is usually the most correct. I saw 1111. Me too. It was 1111. It means that's what time it is. So what does it mean when it's that time? Well, let's start a new phase. When you see 1111, what does that mean? It means turn around and say thank you to someone. It means be here now. It means it's 1111 either in the afternoon or the evening. What does that mean? It means you're here now. It means you're inside your body. And I think ascension symptoms are there. You said that you'd been doing some really extraordinary work over the last few weeks.
Yes.
Energetic work. What happens with us is that we get so out there, I think, emotionally with our souls and our spirits, that our bodies are going, hey, 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 hey. And so there's inflammation that steps in. Our cortisol levels go up. I hate to get all sciencey with it, but basically, if you are running a marathon, a spiritual marathon, and I know because from the new moon to the full moon, Zen Master Ted says, yeah, it's my wife's time of the month. You know, I get a little crazy. I get a little out there. My allergies start, you know, kicking in because I am praying five times a day. I go to my altar five times a day and I read those prayers and I sit out there and sincerely, I start getting real sniffly. I don't eat well. I don't sleep well. Ascension symptoms. What are ascension symptoms? I think ascension symptoms are a reminder that we're still in this flesh vehicle.
What I don't understand, so to give the listeners a little background, so yes, I have been doing this, a lot of this really fantastic, deep, deep energy work with this lady, I myself being the recipient. And so on Monday, I went, actually, since we started the past, you know, 3 or 4 weeks, I've had kind of low-level flu symptoms that would kind of come in and leave. But then on Monday, I was out with a girlfriend and we thought it would be fun to eat chicken wings and potato skins. And, you know, that's not how I normally eat, but it's also not something that knocks me on my butt. It's just I pay attention and my body will say, hey, have this. And usually it's not potato skins and chicken wings. But anyway, so on Monday I go out and have that. And it sat like a rock in my body. And now the last like 12 hours, it's like I feel like I can't eat anything. Like the thought of anything makes me nauseous. It's kind of like morning sickness, although I know it's not morning sickness. And I wonder, as we do this work, is it inevitable that our bodies become more sensitive? Or is that, again, like you were talking about before the break, is that me filtering it through my experience and I have some sort of expectation that that's what's going to occur?
Well, I think it's all of the above and more. I mean, your consciousness, really, it affects every cell inside of our bodies. And, you know, as it's the metaphysical thing, it's the mind-body connection. You can't sit in a situation and not be affected. This is the evolution of the consciousness and our species, but we're still just human. Edgar Cayce talked about the fifth root race. And as we evolve, it's inevitable. As we evolve, we have no choice but to upgrade our operating systems. And, you know, I don't think it's appropriate for those of us to say and judge each other because veganism or vegetarianism, or, you know, I have friends who are remorseful vegetarians. They look at me nosh on a piece of steak or bacon and I can see regret in their face. Well, then what the hell are you doing? I mean, really ask yourself what it is that you're doing to yourself and why are you withholding an emotional piece of joy from your system? You know what? Here. I lived in an ashram for 6 months, okay? I lived in an ashram for 6 months back in 1990. It was right before I moved to Big Sur. So it had to have been about 1998, 1999. And I was a vegetarian, literally, like almost a vegan for approximately 6 months. I became so ill that I thought that I had some neck problems when I came back home. I went to see a chiropractor and he was like, because I used to do barrel racing and rodeo shows and ride horses and what have you, my neck, I'd been thrown from horses. He's like, oh, you have the neck of a 6-year-old woman. I'm like, oh, well, that explains everything. No, I became more and more sick. I had Epstein-Barr. Okay, so I picked up this virus when I was out and about because I was not eating appropriately for my body. And so we began to judge each other. And I was, before the show, I was telling you about Vito Mucci. He's the author of Coffee for Consciousness. You should really interview him. Plugging you, Vito. Anyways, he, for months and months, almost years, when I connected with him first on Facebook, he would do this food blog every day. He would say, today I feel like enchiladas and a six pack, or tomorrow, you know, I feel like having empanadas and shrimp, or it would just, more and more people began feeling the same way. So there's interstellar ESP channel that says, you know, food contains vibration. Food contains, this is why, you know, piranhas, I can taste the piranha in my food. No, they're not fish. it's an old joke and people are listening are like, what the hell is she talking about? Anyways, the bottom line is that everything around us is infused with light and love or not. You know, the vibration, the frequency, the energy of what you put yourself inside of. There are restaurants I can't walk into. There are places that I can't walk into, food I can't eat. So why do we pray over our food? Is it to change the molecular structure of the food, or is it to make our bodies more capable of receiving the nutrition?
I would say it's the latter, but probably a little bit of both.
Okay. Yeah. But how do we measure that? So we are the rubric, and no two realities are the same. No two operating systems are the same. I mean, we can all watch the same accident happen on the same street corner, and we will have our own perception of how it happened. And that's life. Mm-hmm. That is life. And those of us who are empaths, therefore being able to experience an emotion outside of ourselves, which can be really schizadoodle, you know, learning how to parse that is really important. But let's go back to what you're experiencing. You're a very enlightened and conscious person. You're very on top. You're on the cutting edge. You've had the opportunity to be with really remarkable people. I'm so jealous. Don Miguel Ruiz is my hero. You get to talk to him next week. Everybody tune in. Yeah, I talk about the four agreements constantly.
Me too. Everybody, I'm like, if you haven't read that book, I mean, you just need to. Every single person needs to. But, you know, going back to the whole food thing, I didn't feel bad or guilty. I don't like if I want to eat chicken wings and potato skins, like I wasn't feeling bad. It wasn't like, oh, this is I'm doing this. I need to sneak it. No. I'm like, yeah, hell yeah. Let's go have potato skins. I feel like having potato skins. I teach not to feel guilty about your food, but I was just, it was interesting to me. And maybe this is my body is in flux and I'm finding some sort of equilibrium. And
I need to eat some deadly nightshade. I'm going to have potato skins and I'm going to fry them. Were they non-GMO?
You know, I don't know. That is I don't know, but that's something to think about as well. I had something else I was going to say along those lines, but it just totally went away. But I do think that consciousness in a lot of ways though is bigger than just, I think that we can look, like you said, saying that prayer before your food, that we can take something that's necessarily not that nutritious and take away that element of the detriment it might bring to your system. Because I think that consciousness is bigger than that. But I do think that while I'm doing this, I'm in flux. I think that there is a lot of things that are, you know, in motion right now that I just need to be kind and compassionate with myself and kind of ride the wave as it goes.
When I work with people, I chart their patterns, especially with cosmic triage. And by the way, with regard to cosmic triage, we wanted to get a little nerdy and talk about UFOs and disclosure and that kind of thing. So, you know, we'll do that as well, because I want to talk about the presentation that I'm giving at the UFO summit in Washington State on the coast at the Canalt Resort and Casino. I think I'm saying that right. But anyways, we'll talk about disclosure and that kind of stuff when we come back. Oh, I did it for you.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, you're listening to Entanglement Radio with Sarah Nash. We'll be right back after this break.
Bringing you the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Host your show on IOM-FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM-FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake. Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Oh, All right, we are back here, and you're listening to Entanglement Radio with Angela Levesque right here on the Om Times Radio Network. My guest co-host today is the founder and co-facilitator of the White Light Express, as well as creator of Cosmic Triage, which we will get to in a little bit. We have Sarah Nash here just joining me for Conversations on the Brink. So I just feel there is such a quickening going on of everything. With climate change and with opposition to climate change, especially that's going on in the United States, I don't know, the Supreme Court just made a kind of a landmark decision about some of the changes that they talked about at the Paris Accords. And then you look at the X-Files. I don't know if people have been watching that, but the very first X-Files that they had in this new 10th kind of season reboot, they basically laid out the entire disclosure for everyone and what's going on. And if we'd listen to Dr. Greer and what he laid out in his like 4-hour YouTube presentation, it was summed up very nice and neatly. It just seems like there's just so many things going on. And that's why I titled this show Conversations on the Brink, because it seems like we are on the brink of disaster, enlightenment, UFO disclosure, like just everywhere we're turning, it seems that we are in this heightened, quickened state. And I just wonder, it's like, where are we going to go? Where are we going to take this? But when you saw it, did you see the episode one of season 10 of X-Files where they like laid out everything?
Are you kidding? This is like a piece of my young adulthood. I went on Amazon because we actually don't have, I'm one of those people that doesn't have cable television.
I don't either.
But it's mostly because I just don't have the time to watch television. I was like, what am I spending this money on? So, I pick and choose what I want on Amazon. I don't know. I don't mean to plug other shows, but yeah, the UFOs. Woo. The X-Files, man, I grew up on the X-Files. I feel like I grew up with the X-Files. And my daughter was telling me, she's like, yeah, every time I heard that noise in our house, that the opening, she's like, don't talk to mom.
Yes, we used to get together every Sunday night. And it was for years and years, we would get together every Sunday and watch the X-Files. And so I was really excited. My jaw dropped when I'm watching this, the first episode of the season, and just, wow, they just really laid it all out there in a very, from a place of a drama, from a place of art and television, but they put everything in there. And I was just wondering, like, why are they doing that? And who made that decision?
Well, exactly. And throughout subliminal programming and the media control, we have to remember that signs and symbols, and I really do want to spend a little bit of time with this, only because of the imminent disclosure that is going to happen, because we are not alone. I'm not saying it's aliens, but it's aliens. And we have been able to, I've had my own personal experience where I've had to just really step back from all what we call the woo-woo and the channeling and, oh my God, I have a ghost in my bathroom. No, you don't. But I'm not. See, cosmic triage validates. It validates that you are having an experience that you cannot adequately, logically, and reasonably rationalize through a scientific means. And as a result of that, a lot of people began feeling fear. They began feeling left out. They don't know how to process the sacred encounter that they've had. Because I'll tell you something, I had some water show up on my head a few nights ago, and I've had a few drops of water on my it's actually very common. And for the first time in I don't know how long, I was having a paranormal normal experience. Because I went online to Google it, right? You got to go to Google. And I was like, I was Googling medical reasons. Like, what are the reasons that water would just show up on your body?
And so end up deciding the water was about?
We don't know. See, that's just it. We don't know. A lot of these people have, I had a drop of water show up on my head about 2 years ago. And I was standing in my bathroom and it just trickled down the front of my face. And I was like, oh, well, hey, whatever. It's the bathroom, no biggie, right? And I was sitting at my desk, several months later, and the same thing happened. Just water, boom, rolling right off the top of my head. I'm like, oh, okay. So, you know, a couple of times you shrug it off. It could happen. You'd be at the kitchen reaching for a cup that had water in it or something. The other night, two nights ago, I was standing in the kitchen. And I turned to Peter. I'm like, oh, God, you know, something scratching my head. I'm like, something is rolling around in my head. And I felt moisture. And I looked down and I realized, and suddenly water down the back of my neck, behind my ears. And I'm like, all right. What did you do, Peter? Did you like spray some water on me? Do you remember doing that? And he's like, no. And I went downstairs. I looked at the ceiling. I stood in the doorway. I was out of my patio. There was no logical reason for it. So then I panicked. Okay, my brain is leaking. Oh, no, my brain's like, oh, lymphoma, you know, whatever. I could find all kinds of medical reasons that you would have the sensation of water drops.
So here's what I don't get, though. From you, all of the work that you have done and the experiences that you've had that, you know, we don't need to get into necessarily, but why wouldn't you automatically think after that's happened a couple of times that clearly that is a sacred event?
How do we know that that's a sacred? I am the world's most skeptical psychic because I have abilities that are indicative of being part of the fifth root race. The reason that I have seven cones attached to the retina of my eye and that I can see and observe colors that are almost on the infrared scale is because I was born with a congenital defect that makes me deaf. I mean, our bodies evolutionarily will expand and grow to what we need to do. Thank God we have texting, otherwise we'd lose our thumbs. The thing is that I am a mentalist. Before I'm a psychic, I am a mentalist. I've already sized you up in a way. I've already connected all the dots. I am more of a mentalist and a psychotherapist and a skeptic than you will ever know. In fact, very seldom do I actually have to use my God-given abilities or my gifts that I hope someday will make me a doctor of transdimensional communication that will allow us to be taken seriously. But I am always a skeptic. I will always go to the most logical, rational, and scientific reason before we say we're on cosmic acid.
But wouldn't you say that that in itself, you said, you know, I can't remember, multidimensional or communicator, isn't that in itself sacred?
Is everything sacred then? I mean, what is sacred? That's like saying, you know, it's like I had a friend who was recently saying, you know, I went and I sat next to a fire. I was at a gathering with a bunch of people and I had a piece of paper and I threw it into the fire and somebody went off on me and said, you can't do that. That fire is sacred. Okay, well, the intent and the purpose then, if you're walking away from it, then your intent and your purpose is what makes something something. People, you know, half the time I don't need my tools. I don't need my tarot cards. I don't need my crystals, my anything, because everything is sacred. And Harry Potter's magic wand. We all wish we had Harry Potter's wand. Well, we do. We make the sacred chalice. We make the bread sacred. We make the water sacred by our intention. What is your intention? And so to say that something is less sacred or more sacred than another, then you have to ask yourself what your intention is and why this is better or worse or not as effective. Does that make sense?
It does. I think, though, when you talk about your gifts, and I do, I mean, and throwing a piece of paper in a fire, again, it goes back to that. I think consciousness is bigger than that. If your fire is going to somehow be dampened because somebody threw a piece of paper in it, to me, that just seems silly. But
the point that I want to make, Angela, and I don't mean to cut you off, is that that's for a portion of time. With the intention and the focus of the people who were gathered around that fire, it was sacred because that was the intention. But if you as a group, and this is mindfulness and consciousness, you have to have a beginning, a middle, and an end to a ritual or a tradition. You know, I don't want to get on my pulpit or preach, but, you know, God requires obedience. I mean, there's a reason that we have ritual. There's a reason that we use earth, air, fire, and water, and that we use each of these elements in our traditions and our rituals because they are representation of what brings us together. So when we have, when we are in sacred ceremony, that is sacred ceremony. As a result of that, when we walk away, don't run back and tell somebody that that fire is sacred when the ceremony is over. If that fire is so sacred, then sit there and wait for the embers to die, which is what we do in our goddess circle. You know, we all at the end of our ceremony will sit there and move the embers around and chit chat and then go into the house when the fire's down. That's why we have fire tenders, fire keeper. Don't just run back and say, that fire's sacred. Oh, really? I didn't know. I didn't see the sign. I didn't get the memo. What is your intention?
Well, I do. I really, I connect with you on the idea of, you know, the intention and the filtering down of the experience. So going back to the whole water thing, at the end of the day, after you came up with, you don't know.
Well, what I found was an incredible forum of people who are all having the same identical situation. Well, for me, Angela, for the first time in a very long time, I had an experience that I certainly didn't feel as though I was outside of the norm anymore. And this is the key, Angela. This is the key. More and more and more of us are opening up and talking to each other, and we are setting aside fear. And now let's ask ourselves why we have these moral issues are human, okay? The universe has no morality. The universe has no judgment. The consciousness, the divine conductor. You know, I love to go back to George Carlin and what he said about, you know, God. If you don't do these 10 things, you're going to burn in hell, but I love you. And can I have your credit card number? You know, it's how we can begin to work together. And essentially, I felt part of a group of people who were all having a questionable, there's no reason for it. I mean, where did the water come from? I've had experiences in my life that I've really had to sit down, and this is my new pattern of not embellishing and really, really stepping back and looking at the fact that we embellish over and over and over again. You know, that little noise in the bathroom, or, you know, the odd occurrence, we just, you know, 11-11. Okay, can we stop focusing on these little things that, you know, connect us? Can we start focusing on the bigger things, such as crop circles? We have the ability to put a satellite over areas and take a picture every 15 nanoseconds. Why aren't we doing that? And if we are, what's showing up? I mean, let's start asking each other what really is happening. The truth is out there.
Well, I think that
religion contaminates us. Religion contaminates us.
So does complacency. Well, when we get back here, I want to talk about how to not get so overwhelmed by all this stuff and not get sucked into the storm. So we'll return here with guest co-host Sarah Nash on Entanglement Radio. We'll be right back.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
This is Terry Van Horn, and I want to invite you to join me for my weekly radio show, Healing Light, on OM Times Radio every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Healing Light, we want to bring love, light, and blessings into your world. You can find out more about us at www.healinglightonline.com. Blessings.
Matt Connerton here. Join Jen Coffey and I twice a week for Matt Connerton Unleashed, a political talk show that's a little different than what you're used to. No liberal or conservative agenda here, just an honest dialogue about truth and how things really work in the world of politics. Matt Connerton Unleashed, every Tuesday and Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Express and creator of Cosmic Triage. So, Sarah, we left talking about crop circles. So here's what I'm not fully understanding from your point of view. So when people, let's say, talk about angels or even something even more a little bit out, like fairies or something that's like really out there, are you saying that they are not having that experience and that was something that they've created? Or do you really feel that there are real world examples of people being able to explore and to connect with other multidimensional realms and beings?
What I'm saying is that they're absolutely having an experience, and through the process of their personal filter and their environment and how they were raised and what their culture is. What I'm mostly interested in these days is the group experience that crosses cultures, crosses religion, crosses that everyone can experience as a truth and as a fact that can be identified as a communion of sorts. Not everyone will see the Blessed Mother. They will see a fairy. And not everyone will see a specter or a ghost. What I'm interested in is validating what is truly happening. And I've sort of moved out of the paradigm of angels and fairies and I'm not going to say that my experiences, I mean, when I was a little girl, I used to talk to angels, for crying out loud. I mean, I don't want to get into all of that, but as I have progressed with my process, my personal process, I had to really just set aside some of the filters that no longer suited my new paradigm. So my sacred encounter is sort of like Plato's cave. I mean, let's look at the people who have lived inside of a cave all their life. And if you tell them to step out into the sun and use a telephone, they're going to run back into the cave because what is a telephone and what is the sunshine that's hurting my eyes? So it's a process by which we evolve. And what are we evolving for? I mean, what are we evolving to? And hopefully with, you know, consciousness, you know, we're evolving to the point where we no longer have to destroy life, where we can.
Oh, I hope so.
Exactly. So, I mean, if somebody comes to me and says, you know, I've had conversations with a little gray men, that's how their processing system, their operating system processed and filtered and gave themselves the information of. It's like John the Revelator in the Bible. You know, what was that dragon with seven heads screaming in the sky? Was it the blue angels? You know, how we can process the information that we have is imperative to our evolution as a species, because I'm not saying it's aliens, but, you know, it's aliens. The information that I've been receiving lately has really caused me to step aside, and it's they're coming. All right. Whoever they and what and have, I mean, I have literally had to step aside from all of my woo-woo ghosts and fairies and demons and angels, because at the end of the day, there's one truth. That the more I peel back the layers with my own sacred encounters and the people that I work with, the evolution of the species is dependent upon learning how to set aside our differences to create the sacred reverence thing, the honoring of true life.
I absolutely agree.
And I don't want to scare anybody. I really don't. My idea is not to scare people. My intention is not to scare people. But there is a contingent of species out there. And it's sort of like, can't remember where I saw this recently. I think somebody sent me something from Star Trek. But essentially, there are a species, a sentient conscious species of consciousness, entities, what have you, UFOs, aliens, that are on their way here. Okay. And the, and we're just as important to them as we look at an anthill. Zero compassion. And so from the information that I've been channeling and receiving, basically what I understand is that there, if we evolve and we can look outside of our differences and begin to join together with compassion and mercy and reverence, regardless of our environment and our religion and our creed, then we have a chance to survive, because it, that's the awakening. That's the awakening. It's we will be able to evolve enough to have the process and the ability to defend ourselves against a very, for all intents and purposes, a very discompassionate, detached element that, you know, they're coming.
You know, it's an interesting conversation that even you can look at the same thing if we look at climate change, that you can give people a whole bunch of facts, figures, a whole bunch of warning of doom. And it's interesting how that still doesn't motivate people. And maybe that's not the conversation we had. And that's why, you know, going back to, oh, I'm just having crazy deja vu. This is really interesting. we're supposed to be having this conversation, Sarah.
Well, what does motivate people? And this is the quality, this is the character that you have to really align yourself with. And recently I've decided that I am not the exception to the rule. I would align myself with really awful people, people with no character or morality or what have you, because I was simply interested in what made them tick. And now I realize that that was incredibly foolish, because I need to align myself with people that have character and integrity and who follow through. Again, you know, Don Miguel Ruiz. I was thinking Paulo Coelho. You know, the four agreements. Be impeccable with your word. Always do your best. Don't presume anything, and don't take anything personally. And then the fifth agreement, listen but be skeptical. And it was the fifth agreement that I just really had a problem with, because I never listened. Now I'm listening. I've always been skeptical, but I didn't listen. And now I'm listening, and what I'm hearing is that what we're doing is we've been aligned with greed and avarice and fear, stepping outside of our comfort zone, stepping outside of our firmly held belief system, because change is painful. Changing, and it's humiliating, actually. It's actually humiliating. And some of the experiences that I've had recently where I've had to step aside from everything that I knew to be true and everything I held to be sacred, that and it wasn't. It was something else. It was a superstition. It was tribal belief, you know. But how do we take the traditions that we've had, the rituals that we've had, and move them forward to assist with the evolution of the species, assist in spreading love? Really, I mean, it's the whole dirty hippie thing, man. It's like love each other. Really, see, love is the answer.
Well, I want to move on. I want to give you the opportunity to tell us about some of the stuff you have coming up. But for me, all of these experiences, whether it's the angels or the 1111 or whatever the case may be, it helps us get to that point. It helps us to open ourselves up wide enough that we can realize that that is love. So I say, however it gets you there, whether it's a real experience or it's not, if it gets you to this point.
It's very real.
Where you can connect and realize, like, open yourself up to these other possibilities, to your imagination, to your ideas that things can be different. Because I think that's the most damaging thing to humanity right now, is that we lack imagination. We are lack thinking outside of what's being fed to us. And that's incredibly damaging, because what's being fed to us is not the truth, is not where, you know, what we really need to be seeing, the conversations we really need to be having. But anyway, I know I left you on a cliffhanger, but I want to give you an opportunity to tell us about, again, just tell us again about your upcoming event. And then you have a book coming as well at some point.
We'll talk about the book later. There's not enough time, but I'm creating a tarot, and it's called the Magna Dei Tarot. It's the Great Goddess Tarot, and it's based on the divine feminine. But as a result of that, I've taken 30 years of signs and symbols and studying the tarot, and I've traced it back to an origin. So it's really beautiful. But I'm speaking at the UFO and Paranormal Summit in Washington State on March 4th and 5th at the Connaught Casino and Resort. And it's really just, it's phenomenal. There's going to be some excellent, really excellent presentations there. It's over 2 days. And I am excited about this, to be joined up with these people and to have this ability to say everything is real. And that's the one thing I wanted to put out there, is that don't question what you're experiencing. Ask yourself why you're having the experience, though. That's the key. Don't question what you're experiencing, because you are experiencing something valid and real. If you think you're talking to an angel, you are. Okay, in that moment, you are. Be here now. That's what Ram Dass, you know, it's don't question the experience. Question why you're having it, because you're special. If you're having a sacred encounter, that's brilliant. Embrace that. Don't be afraid of it.
Is that the crux of what cosmic triage is?
Cosmic triage validates a cosmic crisis, meaning that if you're not having an emotional and mental and physical breakdown as a result of a chemical imbalance that can be treated by mainstream medicine, and you're afraid to go, but it's affecting the quality of your life because you just can't deal with the fact that you see the Babadook sitting in the corner of your room every night. I'm the person you call. Who are you going to call? Sarah Nash. I will make sense of that for you, and I will give you the tools that you need to protect yourself as you encounter more and more of the divine unknown.
Well, Sarah, it's been it's always very interesting speaking with you. I'll have you back on once your book and your tarot and all of that comes out.
That would be great. I'll look forward to that. Thank you.
Well, have a fantastic
Thank you for having me on.
You are welcome. As we mentioned, coming up next week, we have Don Miguel Ruiz on the program, and we're going to be talking about that space between life and death. He was in a medically induced coma for 9 weeks after his heart attack about 12 years ago, and he went on a little voyage. So we're going to talk more about that. And don't forget, my Inspired and Empowered program, Early Bird Pricing, is still going on until Monday. And you can find out more about that at HestiaHealth.com. Find me on Facebook and on Twitter at HestiaHealth. And you can hear me live every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern right here on the Om Times Radio Network. Well, this is Angela Levesque wishing you love and light. I'll see you next week.
The best.